Well, we're to continue our lifestyle evangelism series tonight. Praise God. Anybody excited about that? How many know your life was designed to make a difference? How many know your life has purpose? Praise God. And it's not all about us. When we got saved, something changed. Amen. We're no longer the Lord of our own lives, or at least we don't suppose to. We called him Lord for a reason, not just so he would save us, but so that he could become that in our lives and lead us not only into the victory that he provided for us, but the plan of God for our life. So in talking about lifestyle evangelism, now why don't we define this tonight once again. Slide one, please. Lifestyle evangelism is where every believer, everybody say every believer. That includes everybody in this room tonight, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, where every believer lives their Christian life as a deliberate witness for Jesus Christ and obedience to the Great Commission. Amen. I'm going to know and remember that the Great Commission is the church's assignment. That means it's our assignment. Say it's my assignment. It's all of our assignment. And I want to just look at a couple of verses that remind us of this tonight very clearly. And what we call the Great Commission there in Mark chapter 16. We're going to look at two verses and beginning with verse 15. It says, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How many know that is our assignment? Then, as we finish this portion of Scripture, we're not going to read it all tonight. It tells the signs that the believers follow. But in verse 20, it tells us what lifestyle evangelism looks like again. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. How many know the word is what we're to preach? And God says the word is what he confirms. He doesn't confirm our opinion. Amen. Or how we got it figured out. We're to preach the word, and he said he would confirm the word with signs following. Why? Because God watches over his word to perform it. Why? Because God's word is anointed, and he will confirm his word. His word produces faith in the hearer, and the hearer receives that and applies it to his life, then it will produce that result. Here's another good or great example of lifestyle evangelism, because it's where, you know, it's really where every believer shares their faith. And the early church understood this. They understood their assignment. Here in Acts chapter, turn with me in Acts chapter 8, we're going to look at verses 3 and 4. And from the Passion Translation, and it says, then Saul mercilessly persecuted the church of God, going from house to house and into the homes of believers to arrest both men and women and drag them off to prison. Then verse 4 says, although the believers were scattered by persecution, see, they left Jerusalem because they were scattered because of persecution. They preached the wonderful news of the Word of God wherever they went. Praise God. You know, the truth is, throughout history, in the times of greatest persecution of the church, the real church stood up. And despite persecution, it didn't stop the Word. It actually intensified what the believers did. They just went somewhere else and did it. Through history proves that, and this is very important, that we just simply see them sharing their faith to bring others to Christ was paramount to them, and it was part of their life. And this is why lifestyle evangelism is. In lifestyle evangelism, you become a witness for Christ by both the life you've lived for God and his message that you share. How many know it's two things? The life we live should speak, and also the words we share, or the message we share should speak as well. Many times we only see it as the things we say, but it should be both by example, by the way we live. Amen. How many know if you live for Christ, then when you talk for Him, it will be more well received? Praise God. Thank you for the big question marks over your head tonight. No, you get that. You should understand that. Amen. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18, in the Passion Translation, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy the key to this. And this is this: but make Jesus, the anointed one, your focus in life and ministry. So in other words, make Him the focus of the way you walk and live, as well as the message that you share. How many know this would be important? This is the key to actually lifestyle evangelism. Focus in your life and your ministry on one person. That's Jesus Christ and what He's done for you. This is illustrated again clearly in Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 12 through 16 in the Passion Translations. Let's look at this together. It says, "And now you must continue to make this new life fully manifested as you live in the holy awe of God." Amen. So once again, it begins not just with what we say, but actually how we live. Amen. Lifestyle. Praise God. Lifestyle. But you will live in the holy awe of God, which brings you trembling into His presence. There should be a difference between us and the world. How we live should be seen differently. They should be, if a believer and an unbeliever is walking together and spend any time, that should be what they do, how they live. It should be a difference. Amen. In verse 13, it goes on to say, "And God will continually to revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases Him." Having to know that He is causing His passion. Why do we want to come to church? Why do we want to know God better? Because really, if we look inwardly, there was a drawing by His Spirit to know Him and to be passionate about Him and to do His will and His good pleasure. There is that want to. I know your flesh will go, your flesh gets tired, your flesh don't want to read, your flesh don't... See, you're not reading to get God to love you, you're reading because this is growing you. This is helping you know God better. It doesn't make God love you anymore, but it's helping you to grow. It's helping you to be on fire. Amen. But the truth is, if we don't listen to our flesh, which tries us always, never wants to do the will of God, if you listen to your spirit, where the Holy Spirit lives, there is a want to, there is His desire, there is His fire there and passion working you. And this scripture tells you that it is. You too many times believers go by what they feel instead of what the Word says. And faith always goes by what the Word says. So let's read this again. "God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases Him." Verse 14 goes on to says, "Live a cheerful life without complaining or division among yourselves. For then you will be seen as innocent, faultless, and pure children of God." Seen as. See, what seen as. Not heard as, but seen as. "Even though you live in the midst of a brutal and perverse culture." How many know we live in a fallen world and a perverse culture? "For you will appear among them as shining lights in the universe." Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, "Hello, light." Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And in verse 16 it says, "Offering them," here it is, "the words of eternal life." So the first few verses there talked about how we live because He lives in us. And then finally it tells us not only can it be seen, but we actually have a message to share. So once again, this illustrates clearly the focus of your life and ministry, the words. See, in other words, the Apostle Paul here is exhorting the church how that both the way we live and by our words or our message are to bring others to Christ. Both the way we live and the words we speak bring others to Christ. That's lifestyle evangelism. And possibly, I believe, the best example of this is in 1 Corinthians. Once again, this is a foundational scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 19, chapter 9, verses 19 through 23 in the Message translation. I believe it says it so well. For even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. Religious, non-religious, meticulous, moralist, loose living, immoralist, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on that way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered that world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet to a God-saved life. I did all this because of the message. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. In other words, he says, I wanted to do more than just be words. I wanted it to be seen, and by the way I live, the way I live preaches a message as well. This is a part of, or this possibly reveals lifestyle evangelism the best. And from this, we have had what we led into last week and left off of what I call guiding principles. So tonight, we're going to put up slide 2, and tonight's message is going to be entitled Guiding Principles. And so last week, what we left off at, beginning to look at what we call 4 guiding principles from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23 that we just read. In reading that, we found there is a way to life, a way to lifestyle evangelism. Amen. The way we live, the things we say, what we're to do, and what that actually looks like and that means. So tonight, where we left off last week before them, we're to continue tonight. So slide 3, please, and we're looking at these guiding principles. Let's look at them again. Use wisdom, seize the opportunity, be thoughtful, respectful, and kind, and number 4, have the right heart. So what do we mean by this? Well, from the portion there of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we can see these 4 principles are ways that help us. These are principles that will guide us in a lifestyle of evangelism. And the way that we live, the things that we share with others, is more of the how-tos. Amen. Not just the what, but the hows as well. Praise God. So let's look at this again tonight. And we won't finish tonight. I've got next week. Amen. And the week after, and the week after, and the week after. Not to try to draw it out, but to get the point across that this is not something that is just something I'm preaching. This is something that the Word, I'm sharing with you clearly from the Word of God. Amen. So number 1, having to know that in lifestyle evangelism, we need to, first of all, use wisdom. And what I did last week in talking about this, I shared a number of things last week, and I'm going to continue tonight this week, not sharing from the same few things I shared last week, but picking up and looking at a few other things and that we need to continue on. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 4 together and verses 4 and 5. First of all, from the King James Version, it says that we're to walk in wisdom towards them that are without. That's talking about unbelievers. Redeeming the time. Praise God. And then verse 6, it says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Praise God. So we can clearly see here, this is very first thing he says, use wisdom. Now let's read this from the Passion Translation. And it says this, walk in wisdom, the wisdom of God, as you live before the unbelievers. Now here it is. Walk in wisdom. And we're going to talk about what that actually looks like. The Bible exhorts us to do this. And make it your duty to make him known. So not only are we to walk in wisdom before the unbelievers, understand we have a duty to make him known. First by the way we walk. Amen. And then by the message that we tell. Goes on in verse 6. And it says, here it is. This is the word. Let every word you speak be drenched with grace and tempered with truth and clarity. For then you will be prepared to give a respectful answer to anyone who asks about your faith. So notice here, our life should make people thirsty for God. What's different about you? You know, we don't always, our life should be lived around people, if we're around them long enough, that they see that there is, they might not know what it is, that there's a hope and a future, that we have something different about us, that we can be ready by the way that we have just lived before them. They ask us for they ask about our faith, in other words. What's different about you? It's so important. I like what the King James Version said. Put up verse 6 again, where it says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. See, in other words, we, by our lifestyle and by our words, should make people thirsty for God. In other words, the things that we share cause people to be thirsty. Want more of God, or want to know what's going on, what's different about you, why do you act the way you act, or how can you have that victory that you have. Notice here that it, both in the King James Version and the Passion Translation, it talks about our walk and our lifestyle and our words that we speak. The Passion Translation says your spiritual life and teaching, and then living out what you preach. Amen. Both need to be right for the greatest impact. Come on, I'm going to say that again. The way we live and what we share, amen, both need to be right. Then that's when we'll have the greatest impact. You know, just write this verse down. We're not going to turn there tonight. In Romans chapter 10, verse 2, the Apostle Paul warns about having a zeal for God, but not according to accurate knowledge. Now, in context of that verse, he's actually talking about the people having a zeal for God. There's many people, he said, my own Jewish brothers have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They think they earned salvation instead of receiving it by grace through faith. Now that in context is what he's talking about. However, this can be applied in different ways. How many know that many times when people get saved, they should have a zeal for God? The problem is, early on, we can have a zeal for God, even in soul winning, which we should have, but not necessarily according to knowledge. We can be zealous, which is right to tell others about Jesus Christ, because, and your words are a witness. But let me tell you where the problem comes when you don't have knowledge. But you must, here's when you don't have knowledge, your life can contradict your message. And then you become a hypocrite. Or you automatically lose your witness. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about very clearly. Just last week, Pastor Debbie and I were coming back, I believe, from a hospital visit. We were at Gloucester Point, and there was, you know, it's traffic time, you know. And, you know, anyway, praise God. And there was a red sports car that I was in the passing lane. And, it doesn't make any difference in rush hour whether you're in the passing lane or the other lane. It's going to be slow on both sides. Okay, everybody say, oh me, praise the Lord. Okay, so there was a truck in front of me that was stuck by another vehicle in front of him. Well, this red sports car comes up, passes me and passes him, and gets next to the work truck that was next to me, and gave him the finger for about 30 seconds out the road down his window, and gave him the finger about 30 seconds. Well, the problem with that is, beyond giving him the finger, was that he's got a red sports car with a big cross, about a 2.5 foot cross on his back window. So first thing Pastor David says, there goes your witness, buddy. Come on. You just lost your witness. And so it's one thing to wear a cross. It's another thing to live like you've been affected by it. Praise God. Amen. We need both is what I'm saying. And so many times what we have to keep going back to is this is why, you know, in teaching about evangelism, we teach not just what to do, but how to do it. But in that, we must understand it's more than just the words we speak, it's the way we live our life. Amen. There's a lot of times I know people that, you know, God bless their soul. They love God. I don't have no question that they may be saved, that they're saved and they love God and they witness. They invite people. But if your life is a wreck, you're on drugs and you're, listen, God loves people that are on drugs, but drugs ain't going there to help you. It's a sin. If your life is going, if you smell like a smoke bomb, and not just mulberries, but wacky weed. Come on. And you know, it's wonderful that you're witnessing, telling people about Jesus Christ, but come on. I mean, people want to see that you've been changed. Praise God. And so it's important. And a lot of times, yep, we have the right zeal, but not according to knowledge. We have to realize it's more than just what we say, it's also how we live. Now, on the other side, if we can live right, but we never open a mouth to share, then we need to get that part fixed too. Come on. We need to get that part fixed too. You need to pray for boldness. Praise God and act on what God has done for you. Praise the Lord. So it's important. And so everybody say, use wisdom. And maybe one of the best definitions of understanding wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. You know, knowledge is the what, wisdom is the how and the way you do it. The book of Proverbs is full of this, what to do and how to do it, but also what not to do. It not only tells you what to do, but what not to do. And life makes a difference. Our life makes a difference. Listen, all of us was messed up before Christ. And even after Christ, we still make mistakes. But that's not for us to justify anything. It's us to realize by the grace of God, there is nothing that you and I are going to face that the grace of God has not already provided the power and the answer and the strength for us to possess it and to live it right. If the only thing that's lacking is our knowledge, possibly, of what God has provided and the application of that, which is wisdom. Everybody say, use wisdom. And so last week I gave an example of leading a young lady in 18 or 19. How many were here last week? Remember the story I said that I led a young lady in the parking lot of a golf course. She was 18 or 19 to Christ. But I want to emphasize something that many times that when you hear things, it needs to be told, but some other things need to be told with it. I want to emphasize it was in a public place, and I had another person with me. It wasn't just me one-on-one with a young woman. Wisdom, let me share some wisdom to you in lifestyle evangelism. If you're by yourself, men, minister to men. Women, ladies, if you're by yourself, ladies, minister to ladies. If you're alone, amen. Remember, don't put yourself in a compromising position. Well, you know, nothing could ever happen. I'm strong. Yeah, that's what Samson thought too. And it's not just what you may do or not do, but what about the person? of what would be said. So listen, ladies. Ladies minister to ladies. Men minister to men. Now, if you're with other people, that's good and that's different. But just remember that principle. Amen. Don't put yourself in a compromising position. Remember again, without us turning there, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23, let me quote another guiding principle where using wisdom. Paul said, I didn't take on their way of life. In other words, he said, I didn't live like the world. I went into that world, but I didn't live like them. He said, I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ. That means it's not all right to do what the world does. That means it's not all right to sin in any way to try to reach them. You're not to be like them to reach them. You're to be like Christ to reach them. Christ didn't have to compromise to reach anyone. The power of God was upon him. He made people thirsty by the way he lived and by what he said. The Spirit of God was upon him. And if we would have faith in that the Spirit of God can work through us, then we have just to realize we trust God. And we don't have to try to make them accept us. But we're not trying to be like them or even to do the things, if it's sin, to be accepted by them. But he said, in entering their world, you have to become a servant in attempt to lead them into a God-saved life. Everybody say servant. In other words, you're there, you're not trying to be like them, you're trying to serve them something. And it's called Jesus. You're trying to serve them eternal life. And you got to use wisdom to do it. You know, you could lose your whole witness by, you know, you're with them and they try to get you to do something that's sinful. You got to say no. And you got to, you know, if you have to walk away, you have to walk away. Remember, living the Word gains respect and opens doors for your witness with the words. Come on, I'm going to say that again. Living the Word gains respect and opens doors for your witness with the words. Now, that don't always happen the first time, but it does happen. Many of you are in here tonight know of people that gave you the cold shoulder, made fun of you, or didn't want anything to do with you, but over time, they saw your life, they saw how you live, they saw the fruit, and sooner or later, they're the ones that came to you when they have problems or something going on in their life, and now they ask you to pray for them. Come on, how many has ever had that to happen to them? Amen. So these are the kind of things, this is why I'm going to say it again, living the Word gains respect. That's what happens and opens doors for your witness with words. It just don't always happen when you want it. Praise God. But if you live it, it will happen. Listen to what Ephesians chapter 5 verses 15 and 16 says from the Passion Translation as we close out with, everybody say, use wisdom. As we close out using wisdom and then learning how to seize the opportunities, listen how this bridges or talks about both of them. Verse 15, it says, so be very careful how you live, not being like those with no understanding. How many know the world would be with no understanding, or even young believers be no understanding? But we're to have understanding. But live honorably with true wisdom. Everybody say true wisdom. True wisdom is doing things God's way. For we are living in evil times. Oh boy, how true is that? Take full advantage of every day as you spend your life for His purposes. Woo! Glory to God. So notice here how it talked about how we're to live and spend our, take full advantage. So one is talking about, once again, how we live, using wisdom, using with true wisdom. And then we want to transition to this second point, seize the opportunity, where he says, take full advantage of every day as you spend your life for his purposes. Well, if you spend your life for his purposes, you're going to look for opportunities. But we need to not only recognize opportunities, we need to seize opportunities. And let me show you some examples from the Word of God. So number two, seize the opportunity. How many know on the day of Pentecost something great happened? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened. Everybody didn't understand it. But thank God, Peter and the apostles that got filled with the Holy Spirit in the upper room did. Peter stood up. And here, after the Spirit of God was poured out, and Acts chapter 2, follow along with me, everybody say, seize the opportunity. It says they were all amazed. In other words, all the unbelievers were amazed. All those Jewish people gathering there were amazed and were in doubt, saying to one another, what meaneth this? Remember the question, what means this? People have questions, they want to know. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, everybody say, seize the opportunity. This is exactly what he did. He saw somebody ask the question, somebody else mocking this. He seized the opportunity, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, ye men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. Now, here's what we have to understand. He preaches the gospel for the rest of this chapter. Okay? Now we're going to pick back up again in verse 37. And then after he's preaching the gospel. And then when they heard this, what? His message, the gospel. It says, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostle, men and brethren, what shall we do? Here it is. What shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Goes on and says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord your God shall call. Verse 40 says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Verse 41, and they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Wow is right. Praise God. Amen. So what we have to do is that we need to pay attention. As we live our life for Christ, use wisdom, but understand that because we live in this world, we need to make sure that we're paying attention to the response of that we see of people, of their questions of people, and seize the opportunity to witness, to share Christ, or minister to people, to help them, to point them to the real answer in Christ. Now let's get another example. In the next chapter here, we see that Peter and John, on the hour of prayer, is headed into the temple to the hour of prayer, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. When they go there, they see the crippled man at the gate, beautiful. Okay? This man gets supernaturally healed by the power of God. And it caused such a ruckus, we pick up in verse 9, everybody say, seize the opportunity. Caused such a ruckus, all the people saw him walking and praising God. Verse 10, it says, and they knew that it was he which sat at alms at the gate beautiful of the temple, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. I mean, he drew a crowd. Everybody say, seize the opportunity. Verse 12, and Peter saw it. He saw it. He answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why you look on ye on us so earnestly, as though by our own power of holiness we have made this man walk? If we go on and read this, we find that he clearly testified to all those people how this man was healed. He was healed by faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He seized the opportunity. He saw the questions. He saw the response of the people, and he saw the opportunity to share Christ. Now, let me give you a person. I don't know how to better explain this than this right here, where we see the early church that they were wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Their heart was to help people, to bring people to Christ, to magnify the name of Jesus. It was no longer about them, it was about Him. And it was easy to see that lifestyle evangelism became part of their life. I want to encourage you tonight, it may not be in the forefront of your life, but it can be. And the good news is, if you stay hungry for God, keep being trained, keep praying and asking God to reveal His plan, His will, and to burn in you what burns in His heart, God will do all those things. All those things are the will of God. Don't be concerned about what you haven't done, what you should have done. Stop looking at your past. See, every day is a new day to do what God's Word said and live your life on purpose for Him. I mean, God's not waiting for you to be perfect. Because if you just remember the motley crew He picked, those 12, and one of them ended up being a devil. Come on. So we got to understand He's not waiting for perfection. He's waiting for you to obey Him in availability. Amen. So, let me give a couple in closing tonight. See, we have time. We have a couple of examples of personally of seizing the opportunity. You know, Pastor Debbie and I remember so many examples of this, but, you know, I remember being at Walmart one night, and we a lot of times we'll joke and just say, who we're going to run into tonight? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we were at a Walmart, there was a young girl with several kids that she had. At one time, they were regular attending our church. We hadn't seen them in over a year, okay? And let me just say this. It wasn't because we haven't reached out to them, made phone calls and everything. People will be people. Everybody don't answer the phone. Everybody, you know, they live a life and they make choices, okay? Well, you know, a lot of times when that happens, people kind of try to avoid the pastor. But it was pretty obvious to run into her. And at first you could tell she was very awkward. But Pastor Debbie initiated the conversation. And what she should have, because she's a woman. Okay? And it's fine for me to say, hey, how are you? Great to see you. Pastor Debbie, I gave way to Pastor Debbie. I said that, but Pastor Debbie just kind of took over and said, you know, I could just see the guilt all over her. Well, Pastor Debbie destroyed that right away by saying, we love you. We miss you. How are you? What is going on? How's the kids? And just so some things. Not, why haven't you been? Where you been? You know, all this kind of stuff. How are you? We love you. We miss you. And she began to open up. You could see it just broke that. You know, they really care. And they want to know. She began to share the problems that she was having and the things and why she was in Walmart and what she was trying to pick up at the pharmacy, different stuff. And Pastor Debbie just brought it back around and said, you know, God loves you so much and nothing's changed on God's part. You know, He wants to help you. He wants to bless you and help you. And she zeroed in on a couple of things that she had said that was, and Pastor David just said, you know what? Can we pray for you? Can we pray for you right now? You know, a lot of times when people say, you know, you say, can we pray for you? They're hoping you say, you know, when you go home tonight. Or they're thinking when you go home tonight. But no, we just grabbed her and she was glad of it. We just made a little huddle right in the middle of Walmart floor right there. And Pastor Debbie prayed her. You know, when she walked away, she hugged her at next and she says, thank you so much. So that is seizing the opportunity. Amen. Seizing the opportunity. I've told this one before. It bears repeating. Pastor Debbie and I, here's another Walmart story. Pastor Debbie and I, I remember it was on a Friday. And for some reason, we had a lot going on that day. And we had gotten up early, which we always do, but we not as early on a day off. And so we had spent time with the Lord and so on and so forth. For some reason, we went to Walmart really early that day. And we must have been there by 8 o'clock, okay? And so we were just going to pick up some stuff and get back home and to get on the rest of the day. And I get down to, this has been a couple years ago now because I don't drink Cokes anymore. Everybody say, good for you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so I was going down. I told Pastor Debbie, I said, let me go. She said, well, I'm going down this aisle. I said, I'm going down to the Coke aisle because I want to get me my 8-pack or 6-pack of Coke, you know. And when I did, the Coke vendor was he had a pallet of drinks in the aisle, and he was there by kneeling by the where I needed to be. And he was stocking there. And I just said, hello, Mr. Coke. How are you? Please, excuse me one moment. I need to take one of these. And when I did, and I said, how are you? He says, well, I've been better before. And so I just like, okay. All right. So I didn't act surprised. He shared a couple of things about his job and the stress and stuff. And I said, so do you like your job? And he says, well, really, I don't mind my job. It's the people challenge. I said, yeah, all us people, praise the Lord, in here today. You know what I'm saying? Now, I didn't say that to him, but I said, so I identified with him. I said, I understand what you're talking about because I worked in the grocery business for over 15 years. And so I know exactly what you probably, some things that you deal with. And in saying that to him, I said, there is a people challenge, but I said, let me share with you what changed that for me. And he turned and I said, and then I gave him my testimony. In 1980, I grew up in church for 24 years of my life. Once I gave him my testimony, I could tell, you know, you can tell when you start sharing with somebody whether they pay attention, whether they want to hear more or not. I could tell I had his attention. Everybody say, seize the opportunity. I had his attention, and he actually wanted to hear what I said. When I finished saying that and had that change my life and how it began to change how I responded to people and how it helped me in life, when I shared that with him, I could see I had him. And I just said, let me ask you an important question. Have you ever made Jesus the Lord of your life like I'm talking about today? He says, I did years ago. I said, are you going to church in a while? He says, no. He hung his head and he says, no, I don't go anymore. And I said, well, do you know what? I said, God hasn't changed his love towards you. He loves you. And you know what? Your problem is you've broken close fellowship with God because you don't have that now. You're not living for him. And that doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means that you need to make an adjustment. You see, and I brought up this. I said, you see how this world is. Matter of fact, you brought this up, how dark the world has gotten. I said, you brought that up. I said, it is only going to get darker. And I said, the only answer to that is the light of Jesus Christ. And I said, would you like to... that time, before I said that, here comes Pastor Debbie down the aisle with the cart. And she sees me. And you know, we know when to join in and when not to join. She saw, you got this one. I don't need to stop. Because I was at the place, I said, look, I know we're right in the middle of the store. Would you like to pray and recommit your life to Christ? He says, I sure would. We grabbed hands right there. Pastor Debbie kept on going, just right on by. We grabbed hands right there. He prayed, recommitted his life to Christ. And the unique thing about that was about 3 weeks later, we came into the same store at a different time, but it was in the morning, and he was there. I saw him, and he says, hey, how you doing? I said, hey. And I invited him to church. He lives way a good ways away, but I invited him to church. So anyway, everybody say, seize the opportunity. Let me close with this tonight. And this past week, Pastor Debbie and I, on our Friday, we no more planned what happened to us than we didn't plan what I'm about to tell you. You know, we can plan our day, having to know that God may have other plans for it. Here's what I'm finding, and I found this out for many years now. Yes, you go into all the world, but I found out the more that then as much as that, I find people come just show up with us. I mean, they just come to us. And you know how many more people Jesus went out, but people came to him as well. Don't be surprised when people come to you. Everybody say, seize the opportunity. So here's what happened. Pastor Deb and I were planning our day on Friday. There's a couple of things that we wanted to do, and we had to run some errands, and we got up early and was doing some things, and she had a couple honeydews for me to do that I really didn't want to do. You can tell I didn't want to do them. Everybody, all the men say, I got you, Pastor. Yeah, I had some honeydews I had to do, and she had been, so anyway, I did them. And when we're doing them, some person shows up in our yard, and I was like, what, who is this? And then it was two young men in a truck. And anyway, it was their business truck. And they were supposed to set up an appointment with us by calling us so they know we're home when they show up to do the service that we wanted them to do. Well, nobody called. Nobody, matter of fact. Anyway, so that just kind of, that could get under your skin. But it didn't, okay. And those two young men come out. They were nice, and they said, "I'm here to do this," and stood a complaint and said they were supposed to call me and tell me that was home. I just said, "I'm glad we're home." And so they said, "Well, can you show me this?" And I said, "Yep, here it is." And they said, "Well, then we're going to do that." I said, "Go at it. That's all good, okay." So Pastor Deb and I was walking around the yard picking up because we had a windstorm a couple days before and blew stuff, and we were picking up stuff so when I cut grass, I don't have to cut that. We're getting all that, and they were finishing up. And so as they finished up, I said, you know what, I didn't even I'll be honest with you, I didn't feel like witnessing. But the whole time I'm picking up stuff, I said, all right, Lord, okay, what do you have for this? And so walk over to them, and they were telling me their report of what they found, and everything was all good. They was write the paper out and said so they could get it in the way. So I engaged I engaged one of the young men, and when I engaged him in conversation, I asked him about some things about his life, and then I found out there was actually one was 19, just got married. One was 24. And what ends up happening is the 19-year-old one, I was talking to him, and he was very nice, very polite, very nice. Both of them were nice, but he was extra polite. The guy that was filling out the paperwork, who was his boss, found out they were brothers. And so the older one sitting behind the truck, and I said, so your brother's 19, how old are you? Now, I asked that on purpose. I asked many people that. I said, so if they're young, how old are you? And guess what they said? 24. There you go. You know it. There you go, sis. They're 24. And I look right. That's my open door. Everybody say, seize the opportunity. So I said this. I said, 24. I said, something when I was 24, something happened to my life that totally changed it. And when I said that, he looked up at me and he says, what was that? And I said, there you go. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And he totally changed my life. I went back and shared my testimony and proceeded forward. And then began to share with, then I confronted each of them. I looked to his brother, because at the young one, and I said, so you're 19. And I said, so have you ever made Jesus Christ the Lord? Have you ever done what? He goes, I have. He's my king. I said, well, no wonder you got a big smile and you're looking the way that you are. That's what he said. He's my king. I said, you got him. I turned to the 24. I said, what about you? He says, well, actually, he told me a situation in his life that was very hard. And gone through a broken relationship with a couple of small kids, trying to raise them themselves. And he says, I'm away from God. And I know I am. And I said, well, that can change. You know, God loves you. He's not mad at you. We're here. You know, and that young guy turns around and he says, this is God. You're an answer to my prayer. Now, we shared a few other things. We shared a few other things with him. And that young boy spoke up. He says, you're an answer to my prayer. I prayed last night. During the night. I got up and prayed last night. And I prayed that God would show me how I was to be a husband to my wife. And you are, because I'm newly married, and I don't know how to do this. And he says, y'all are an answer to my question. And so tell me how that I could, as a husband, be, how am I to treat my wife? How am I can live this as and be pleasing to my wife? Pastor, I said, I'm going to defer to you first. And Pastor Debbie, man, he just ate that up. She said the same thing. We know what we're going to say. I mean, it's the Bible. You put Christ first and it changes everything. Come on. By the time they left, they were both standing. We were in a huddle in my driveway praying and recommitting and had that fire again in their heart for Jesus Christ, thanking us for being able to share. Thank you. Then you want to hear what happened in the afternoon in a backyard? I'll tell you next week. Praise God. Praise God. We're going long enough tonight. Amen. Pray. Part two. Everybody say, seize the opportunity. See, I wasn't looking for it, but like Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful, like Peter on the day of Pentecost, you hear the questions, you see what's happening, and you seize the opportunity. Praise God. Everybody stand to your feet tonight. Let's lift our hands and thank God tonight. Let's pray to Him and ask Him to continue to lead us and guide us. Father, we just thank you tonight for everything you've done for us, given us. And this salvation, this so great a salvation, was never meant to be kept to ourselves. So help us by lifestyle and by deed live for you. Help us to preach Christ and when necessary use words. Lord, there's nothing great about any of us other than you live in us, and that changes everything. And help us to magnify Christ. Help us. Give us boldness, Lord. Grant unto us, your servants, boldness to speak your word while you stretch forth your hand to heal, and that signs, wonders, and miracles are done and wrought in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. May there be a fresh fire upon your church. Not just us, but your people. Oh God, and may they be used, using wisdom and seizing the opportunity. Lord, we give you praise that you teach us these things, because we do not know it all, but you do. You are all-knowing and an almighty God, and we use our faith to receive these things that your grace has provided so that we can be and do the things that you called us to do. And may it all be for your glory and your praise in Jesus' name. And everyone that agreed with that said, amen. Now, one last word tonight, unless Pastor Debbie has something that she wants to